Good afternoon, ladies. Chodesh Tov u'mevorach. Being that today is Rosh Chodesh Elul, the last month of the year, we commemorate today the beginning of that last month, so I'd like to just put us in the proper frame of mind of what this month represents, the month of Elul. Historically, this month is a preparation for the high holidays. There are those that limit their preparations for the high holidays to the day before. They take a shower, they cut their nails, they get a haircut, they put on a suit, and they show up. But as we know, Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. And if you want to succeed in judgment in a court, you cannot just show up to the court case on the day that you have to appear without making a proper preparation. You need a lawyer. You need to make a case for yourself. You need to make a defense. So traditionally, the tzaddikim start to make their preparation starting from today. They have 30 days to start repairing their deeds and actions in order so when the day of judgment comes around, they're more or less prepared. It is a very significant month. Unfortunately, a lot of times this month overlaps with the summer. So people are still in the summer head for about 2 more weeks until Labor Day. We don't follow that calendar necessarily at all times. It would have been a good idea that if Labor Day started Elul, then everybody would be in the right frame of mind. But it's incumbent upon all of us to shift out of summer mode and now pull into the mode of the high holidays. Regarding this month, there is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is Song of Songs. This was written by King Solomon. King Solomon wrote several books, but the holiest book that he wrote was the Song of Songs. We have a custom to sing Shir HaShirim on Friday nights in synagogue. Some ladies also have a custom on Friday nights when their husbands are in the shul or when they're sitting at home waiting for dinner, they also read the Shir HaShirim. It's very, very beneficial. Many miracles have happened to those that have read the Shir HaShirim on Friday night. Anyway, it says in the pasuk over there, Kol Dodi Dofek, my beloved one is knocking on the door. And my beloved one says, Petheili, please open for me. Achoti, Rayati, Yonati, Tamati. Please open the door, my beloved one, my spouse, my perfect one. Shiroshim Nimratal. And my beloved one says, please open the door for me. And my head is filled with dew. Very strange pasuk. Open the door, my head is filled with dew. Now I would understand if it was talking about that it was raining outside. So if somebody's standing in the rain, he might say to his friend, hey listen, open up the door, my head's filled with rain. I need some shelter. But this is not saying that. Please open the door. Pithidi, achoti, rayati, yonati, tamati. You know why? Shiroshi nimla tal. Because my head is filled with tal. Tal is due. And who is this beloved one anyway? So, if you read the Pesukim literally, you'd think it's like a man that's trying to enter the house of a lady that he loves. So it's like a poem, it's like a romantic poem. Please open up, I want to come see you. But of course, when we read the Shir HaShirim, although it was written in a way where you can interpret it as a man talking to a wife, but Shlomo HaMelech has nothing better to do than give us love stories. We don't need Shlomo HaMelech to tell us romance stories like this. We leave that for the bestsellers on the New York Times list. Shlomo HaMelech obviously is coming to tell us things of great significance, of holiness. How do I know that? Hakamim say, all the books that we have in the Tanakh, we have 24 books in our literature called Tanakh. Kol HaSefarim Kodesh. All the books that we have are holy. V'Shir HaShirim, Kodesh Kadashim. Shir HaShirim is Holy of Holies. Whatever's written in this book is on the highest level. Who is the man that Shlomo refers to in this book? The man is referring to God. And who is his beloved one? The woman that he seeks to go after and to gain his love or her love? That's the Jewish people. Knesset Yisrael Kala Kirua. The Jewish people are considered like a bride, and God is considered like the groom. And if when you read the Song of Songs, you have to read every pasuk in that light, that there's a relationship. It's a love story. It's a love story between God and his people. And the pasuk is saying over there that God is knocking on the door. The door of what? The heart. The heart of every Jew is closed. In order for God to enter, you have to open it. Your heart has to become a little softened. You have to become a little penetrable. The heart has to be penetrable a bit in order to receive God. But if a person is stubborn and doesn't want to hear from God and doesn't want to do mitzvot and doesn't want to keep religion, so then his heart is closed. But God always knocks on the heart of every Jew and says, "Kol dodi dofek." My beloved one is knocking on the door. And if you could listen, you hear knock knock. Not a knock knock joke. Knock knock, and you hear Hashem on the other side saying, "Please, petchili, open up." Achoti yirayati yonati tamati. The Gemara says on this pasuk, God asks from every Jew, "Petchuli petach ki petchoshel mahat." God says, "I only ask of you to open up a little place in your heart, the size of a pinhole." The size of a needle. Kipetro shel mahat. God says, "I'm just asking a little more observance. A tiny amount I'm asking. And if you make an effort," God says, "then I will make sure that from that little effort that you make will come a great opening." Which means God is asking us, "Please, you start. Do something for me. Petoni, open your heart. Don't have to do everything. There's a lot of mitzvot. And all the mitzvot have so many details and details of the details. To do every single mitzvah and, you know, cold turkey, that's it. Tomorrow morning I'm following everything, and that might be difficult." So God says, "I'm not asking you for that. But whatever you're doing now, petoli, open for me the size of a pinhole." You ever see a pin, a needle that has a little pin, a little hole in it? That's the hole that you put the string in it. I don't sew myself, but I know what it is. It's a little hole over there, and you put it in, and you sew with it. Now, that's a very tiny hole. But the pasuk says, that's it, make a small little hole. And it's true, in the way people come back to God, it's in small things. I know people that made resolutions upon themselves. You know what? I'm going to start making Birkat HaMazon from the Sidur. A small little life change. Instead of saying it by heart, which most people know it by heart maybe, I'm going to trouble myself to go to the bookshelf, to get the Sidur, to open up and read it from the book. Because when you read it from the book, it is more Kavanah. And that little change, small, but that already affects the whole person's life. And then all of a sudden it leads to other things. Or like we've heard on Tisha B'Av from the great rabbis of the world, that said that the people should accept upon themselves to try not to talk Lashon Hara from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'm careful, I don't speak Lashon Hara usually from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. But I think most people are careful at that time also. But the truth is, the rabbi said, you should try from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. What do you mean? But Lashon Hara is the whole day, you should accept it. No, do something small. But when you do something small like that, it eventually grows, and good deeds are contagious. Mitzvah goredet mitzvah, one good deed leads to another. The Yetzer Hara is very cunning. The evil inclination says, it's either all or nothing. Don't be a hypocrite. What, you're just going to stop doing it from 9 to 10? You're a faker. Do everything. The Yetzer Hara knows if it's everything, we're not going to be able to do it. And then we end up doing nothing. So God says, no, don't fall into that trap. Just open me up a small little crack like the hole in a needle. I once heard from one of the rabbis, why did the Midrash give an example of the hole of a needle? There's many different types of holes that the Gemara could have given an example. For example, let's say a person goes to the beach, and you take your finger, and you stick it in the sand. It also makes a hole. So why did the Hachamim use an example of the hole of a needle, of the eye of a needle?
Well,
there's nothing smaller than that. Okay, you're all saying things that are worthy, but I'll also say something. It says that the hole of a needle, although it's very small, but once the hole is pierced, it stays. It doesn't close. As opposed to if I stick my finger in the sand, it makes a hole. When I take my finger out, it closes up. Which means when you make your resolution before the high holidays, it should be small, but it should be lasting. I mean, it shouldn't just close up right after the holidays are over. Okay, then you go back to your old way. And God says, so long as you make a lasting and a durable resolution, even as small as it might be. There was one lady that she wanted to modify her whole dress code. She wanted to turn into a tzniut. But it wasn't so easy for her. So one rabbi gave her an advice. Just accept the point yourself on Rosh Chodesh. Today's Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, that you'll dress in a modest fashion. And sure enough, you can imagine, once already she bought the dress for Rosh Chodesh, it's in her closet. You're not wearing the dress once a month. Yeah, she wears it 3-4 times a month. And then from that already, some months there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh. Well, now she had 4 dresses in her closet, so on and so forth. And eventually but she was resolute to it. Even though the Rosh Chodesh came out on a day where she wasn't in the mood that day to maybe dress in a modest way. That was her resolution. And you live by it. And so on and so forth. So it has to be small. And God says, don't worry, you just do something and I'll take over. But I want to say today, another interpretation of why they gave the example of a needle. The eye of a needle. An explanation is like this. During the course of the year, we distance ourselves, we become distant from God. Not every day is the high holiday season where we're motivated and inspired and we're praying and we're in shul and we're fasting and doing all good deeds. After the holidays pass, unfortunately human beings are like rubber bands. That they usually just go back to their original form. And they go back to their old ways and everybody has habits and everybody has their own customs that they get used to. Bad habits maybe also. And by the middle of the year, we start to drift. And we start to drift away back into our own ways. And we get further and further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the month of Elul comes, God knocks on the door and says, okay, come back. I'm waiting for you to come back. You went all the way. You're far away out there in the ocean. Now it's time to come back. You have, the relationship has been severed. No different than if you have a paper. So the paper is cohesive. It's one piece. But if you start to tear it, and you tear it, and you tear it, or a garment would be a better example. If I have a garment, it's one complete garment. Somebody has a garment. And then they tear it, and it starts to separate until it's two separate pieces. Now, there's only one thing that can bring these two garments back together again. And what is that? A needle. You need a needle in order to sew it back, in order to put the pieces back together. So God says to the Jewish people in the month of Elul, we've separated from each other. You've drifted. The garment has been separated. So God says, Petroni, here, take this needle. Here's this little needle. Go. Start weaving your way back into the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Start coming closer to me. How fortunate are we that we have a God that loves us so much that no matter how much we drift, and no matter how disobedient we might have been, and no matter what type of avonot we might have committed, and everybody commits some avonot, here and there, even the great Sadiqeen, when they scrutinize their actions, they'll find maybe there's something better they could do, maybe there's a mitzvah that they didn't do 100% complete. Everybody on their level has something to rectify. One time there was a great Sadiq, he went to Tashlich to throw away his sins. So as he was throwing away his sins, so the students behind him were going like this. They were grabbing. So the rabbi said, what are you doing? So the student said, Rabbi, would you throw away as a sin? For us is a good deed. For us it's a mitzvah. Your sins for us are mitzvot. Which means, what is he throwing away? He says, maybe when I was praying the Amidah, I didn't have 100% kavanah. Maybe only at 94%. For us, 94% is great. We'll take that. That's sin that you're throwing to the fish. Give it to us. For us, it's a good deed. So even the tzaddikim, everybody has something to rectify. So therefore, God says, God loves us. God is not like a human king. In a human king or government, maybe you get one chance, maybe two chances, three chances for sure, not to put the person in jail for the rest of the person's life. There's no such thing. You cannot rebel against the king and then expect to get exonerated, or expect to get clemency or a mercy. Person goes against the king, he's going to get his punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. We go against the king, and we make avirot, and we are chronic sinners to a certain degree, people, and over again, and the same sins. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still says, I still love you, and God still is knocking on the door. We thought maybe because of our sins we chased God away. God says, no, I know you can do it. And therefore you have to listen closely during the month of Elul, in the middle of the night, if you can hear somebody knocking on the door now, don't get scared. That, it could be it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But probably it's not. You should call the cops. But I'm just giving you an example. I'm giving you an example that if you listen good, you'll be able to hear the knock of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's coming to call us back. And he says, here's the needle. Go, start making a new thread. Start making a new a connection where you could the relationship that has been severed, you can put back together again. In order to understand this, we have to understand what the end of the Pasuk says. The end of the Pasuk says that God says, Shiroshin nimlatal. Let me in, and anyway, my head is filled with dew. Now, we don't know what that Pasuk is even talking about. So, in order to understand, I'd like to read to you a Midrash. It's a famous Midrash. Where is this Midrash? It's in Eliyahu Zuta. Perechaf Aleph. It says like this. Ahar kach Yomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. This is talking about a conversation that God is going to have with the Jewish people at the time that He redeems us. At the end of time. Bini or Banai Achshav Bo'u V'Kiblu Mimeni Kos Shel Tanchumim. God's going to say, my dear children, it's time for you to drink a cup of consolation. All these years you've been suffering, now it's time to make a l'chaim. Ve'omrim Yisrael, so the Jewish people are going to tell God, Ribono shel olam, b'tchila ka'asta aleinu ve'hotzetanu mitoch betka. Initially you got so angry at us, you threw us out of your house, the temple, v'glitanu leben ha'akum, and you sent us into exile amongst all the Gentiles. Ve'achshav bata lefayes otanu. Now you want to come and appease us? After all what you did to us, you sent us into a miserable exile for all these years, thousands of years. Now all of a sudden everything's forgotten. Now you want to give us a cup of consolation? So Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell the Jewish people, let me give you an example so you can understand, he says. A person gets married to his niece. According to the Torah, a man is allowed to marry his niece. It's a relative, but it's mutar. One time the husband got angry at his wife. Vehotzeta mibeto. He told her, get out. And he threw her out of the house. Ve'achar yamim, after a couple of days, he wants to appease her. Huh? He feels bad. Huba lefayes otah. He comes to appease her. Ve'amra lo, so his wife says, mitahila ka'asta alai. First you get angry, you throw me out of the house. Ve'achshav ata bata lefayes. So now you come and appease me? So he says, ve'amar la lebata choto. So he tells his niece, who is his wife, Shemet tomar bilibecha, bilibech, shemiyom sheyatzat mibeti, ani nechnasti libeti. Do you think from the day that I sent you out of my house, do you think I was living in the house as well? I also left the house. Which you don't think I was happy. After that fight, you think I was sitting home relaxing? Just like you left the house, I also left the house. Aila ap ani lo nechnasti. I also did not stay in the house. So too God tells the Jewish people, Banai, Miyom shehirafti et beti shel mata, the day that I destroyed the temple on the earth, lo aliti v'yashavti b'beti shel mala. God says, I have two temples. There's a temple on the earth, there's a temple in the heaven. God says, the day that I evicted you out of your temple, I evicted myself out of my temple. Which means, I felt your pain during this time. Just like you're in exile, I'm in exile as well.
אלא הייתי יושב ובטל. ואמר הקדוש ברוך הוא, אם אין אתם מאמינים לי, and if you don't trust me, if you don't trust me that I love you so much, that you shouldn't think, oh, I got angry at you and I myself was living comfortably. No. When I got angry at you, you left and I left. I put myself in an exile, a self-imposed exile. And if you don't believe me, God says, feel my head. My head is filled with dew, which means, so to speak, I'm outside. My head is filled with dew. Somebody that sleeps outside at night, when you wake up in the morning, his head is wet. So God is trying to tell the Jewish people, I'm in exile as well. I am roaming around the streets with you in the exile. Like the Pasuk says, Imo anuchi besara. Jeez, don't think that, like that husband, he chased his wife away. But when he chased his wife away, he chased himself away as well. He said, if I cannot live with my wife in the house, I don't deserve to live in the house as well. And he waited to make an appeasement. So God says to the Jewish people, even though I threw you out of my house, don't think I'm able to live peacefully without you. Therefore, I left the house as well. And where am I? I'm roaming. God is with us in the exile. And as an example, God says, if you don't believe me, feel my head. My head is filled with dew. Now, of course, as you know, as well as I do, ladies, we cannot explain this midrash simply as I'm explaining to you. God doesn't have a head. You cannot touch God. You cannot see God. Obviously, this conversation has to be explained on a much, much deeper level. But in order to understand it, we'll explain like this. What God is telling the Jewish people is as follows. You know, there's a mitzvah of hachnasat orchim, to invite guests. All of us, I'm sure, have fulfilled this mitzvah at one time or another. If somebody would come to you and say, I need a place to stay. You know the person, they're not dangerous people, they're honorable people. Of course you'd invite them to give them something to eat, if they need lodging, or they need to bathe, or something like that. One of the greatest mitzvot is to host guests. Hachnasat Orchim. Now imagine, the chief rabbi of Israel called you up. And said, please, I'm coming to New York, and I need a place to stay. I say, wow. And out of all the Jewish people, why did you pick my house? Well, I picked your house because I know you're a good person, and I'd like to stay by you. Is it possible? Wow. You would, of course, you would paint the house, and you would go make preparations fit for a king, and you'd be going to everybody, guess what? I'm hosting the chief rabbi of Israel. He's staying in my house, the great tzaddikim. And it's a big honor. But imagine, not one of the chief rabbis of Israel, imagine King David, David HaMelech. Imagine he came back, he was resurrected, and now he's back. David HaMelech is here. And he comes and tells you, please, I need a place to stay tonight. What? And then you come the next day to Shul, you say, guess who slept by me last night? David HaMelech. What? David HaMelech slept by you? How'd you get... I don't know. Echnasat Orchim. Could you imagine what type of zechut that is? Imagine, however, it's not the chief rabbi of Israel and not David HaMelech, even somebody before David HaMelech. Imagine if you go all the way back to the first human being ever created, Adam, Adam HaRishon. Wow. Adam HaRishon, he was all spiritual. He was born in the Garden of Eden. He is the product of God. You know who Adam's father is? God. You know Adam's mother is? God. He was created from Borei Olam himself. He did not have physical parents. It's the only person in the world that was ever born like that. Could you imagine how great Adam was? Adam and Ishon, the father of all mankind. And now he could stay by anybody. There's billions of people in the world. And he asked, please, I'm asking to stay by you. Wow, Adam and Ishon, God's handiwork. This would be a great, great zechut. Even to have him in the house for one meal. Even not even a meal, even a dessert. To host Adam and Ishon. Now ladies, you might know already where I'm going with this example. Imagine, if not the chief rabbi, and not King David, and not Adam and Ishon, but imagine God himself would come to you and say, please, I need a place to stay. God is the one that created all of these great personalities. And God said, please, I need lodging. What would you say? A person has to be a fool to tell God, well, no, I'm not here, I'm not home. Could you imagine the blessing you would get? I once saw a great rabbi. He stayed by somebody's house. On the way out, the rabbi blessed the host. And I was jealous. I said, wow, what a zechut this man has. Not that he hosted the rabbi, but what a blessing he received as a result of it. Could you imagine the blessing you receive from God if you host God? And guess what? God is asking, God is very big. He's able to stay in many homes at the same time. The chief rabbi can only stay in one house at a time. But God is big. And guess what? God knocks on the door. Kol dodi dofe. God is knocking on the door like a guest. Pitlili, please, I'm outside. Could you let me in? And what are we going to tell Borei Olam? Sorry, busy. I'm watching television. Or, I'm whatever it is. I'm involved. I'm shopping. Borei Olam is asking to enter. But he doesn't want to enter the home. He asks to enter, like I said, your heart. Please let me in. Because God says, I'm in exile. What do you think? When I destroyed the temple, I'm homeless. I'm roaming the streets. I don't have a place to stay. But God says, there's one place that I like to stay, where I feel comfortable. In the heart of every Jew. In the heart of a Jew that keeps the Torah and keeps the mitzvot. So God feels comfortable. There's no temple today. The closest thing to a temple is a Jew that fulfills the proper mitzvot. God feels comfortable to rest His holy presence amongst that Jew. Who would be foolish enough to tell Borei Olam, go away, go somewhere else? Could you imagine the blessing you would also receive? When we let God enter our life, you know what type of beracha we get? Because after God says, oh, thank you, you let me in. Normal derech eretz would be, the guest has to bless the host. We have a law in Birkat HaMazon. When you're eating by somebody's house, they gave you a meal. You have to say Birkat HaOreach. At the end of the Birkat HaMazon, we say, HaRachman, the merciful one, should bless the host of this house with children and grandchildren and money and blessing and prosperity and health and all good things. And they should have a good existence in this world and a good existence in the next world. They should never get embarrassed or humiliated. And they should enjoy all the successes. What a blessing. The guy just gave you a few pistachio nuts and a cup of coffee. And why? You're giving the guy the blessing of the greatest order. Now, if that's a blessing that you give a person who just gave you a few slices of bread, could you imagine the blessing that God gives you when He's knocking on all the doors and you finally say, you know what, Borei Olam, I'm going to do something for you. Once you make that acceptance, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to be a little more careful on this. What you're doing is you're opening the door. Now you're letting God enter. Now God says, well, I have a house. Now Borei Olam constantly blesses you and God is the source of all the blessings. However, Chas v'shalom, if a person keeps the door closed, God comes along as the prophet says and He asks the question, Madu abati ve'en ish, karati ve'en oneh. Why did I come and nobody's answering? Madu abati ve'en ish. You ever go to somebody's house, you're knocking on the door, and you're knocking on the door, nobody's answering. Say, hey, how come nobody's home? There's cars in the driveway, the lights are on upstairs, and you're banging. God says, Madu abati ve'enish, karati, I'm calling, hey, pithili, achoti, rayati, yonati, tamati. Then on air, but nobody's calling. Then, chas v'shalom, a Jew that can keep his God homeless, this is reprehensible, this is unacceptable, this is intolerable. That a Jew would not be willing to accept even something, a little form of religion. But now I'm going to explain to you what the do means. Last week, if you remember, we talked about the waves and the water. Now we're going to talk about the do, the tal. How can I explain this to you? This needs an introduction. The Holy Zohar, the Zohar HaKadosh, talks about a concept called Itaruta Diltata. Let me explain. If a person wants to bring down a beracha from God, the beracha comes from God. So in order to bring down the blessing, you need to do something here first. And then the actions reach the heaven, and then the heaven shakes and brings down the beracha. All the bounty that comes from heaven starts from earth. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. I want a beracha in the water supply. I want the water supply to be abundant. We want the water supply to be clean from any disease. And we want it to reach us. So what do? I take a cup of water. And I say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shakol Yavid Baruch. I say the magical words. Not only does that allow me to drink the water, but that creates a shock in the heavens that blesses the water. God says, oh, because they're blessing the water, now I'm going to bless the water. But if a person, let's say, would drink without making a blessing, so God says, okay, I don't do anything, I wait for them. It's like a person wants oil. He lives in the Middle East, it's a very, very porous region where there's a lot of oil. But the oil just doesn't jump from the ground. You need to take a big machine, and you need to dredge the oil and drill for it till you get all the way down, and then finally able to bring the oil, which means you have to do something in order to bring the beracha. Beracha doesn't come on you. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, it always starts on earth. That's why the Torah says, do a good deed, and then you get blessed. The good deed doesn't end where you did it. The good deed travels all the way a zillion miles up. It hits its target. It's like, I'm going to give you a bad example, because I don't have any good examples these days. I'm going to give you a bad one, but it'll help you. If you remember when you were young, I hope you still don't do this, but they have a pinball machine. The pinball machine has the ball, and you hit the ball with the flipper, ding, and it hits the bullseye, and you get 50 points. Then it comes down again, you hit it again, it hits the flap, and you get a few more points. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry you have to get corrupted by coming to these classes that I'm telling you about all these games, but that's similar to what happens when you do a mitzvah. The mitzvah has a purpose. It shoots up to the heavens, it hits its target, beracha comes down as a result of it. So it starts here. Everybody always says, hey, I want beracha. What are you doing to get the beracha? A person stands in front of a pinball machine and he says, hey, how come it's not tallying the points? Right, you got to put in a quarter first. When I was young, it was a quarter. Maybe now it's $2. I have no idea. But the point is, you got to put in a token, and you have to push the buttons. And if you don't push the flaps, it's also not gonna register. Person can't just say, "Hey, how come God's not giving me beracha? What are you doing to inspire the beracha? Why isn't God mercy to me? Are you being merciful to others? Why isn't God being charitable to me? Are you charitable to others?" Why isn't a person wants to get married? A person wants to have health. What are you doing in order to create the beracha to come down? It starts here. Prayer would be an example. You could pray for it. Praying is a method. Good deeds is a method. Learning Torah is a method. Now watch. There's another form, because God is great. Sometimes God sees that His children just are not interested. They're not fulfilling the mitzvot. They're preoccupied, especially in exile. We're so busy trying to make a living. We're so busy just trying to live day to day, to pay our bills. And unfortunately, religion becomes neglected. And especially after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, we don't have too much action that we're doing on earth that can really shake the heavens anymore. In the Beit HaMikdash's day, you had sacrifices, you had Kohanim, there was a lot of stuff taking place on earth that could really bring down Beracha. Today we're in exile, there's no temple. So you lost that whole generated earthly inspiration. You lost it. And the generation is weak. We have little concentration span and our attention span. In those times, I'm going to tell you a big, big, big secret now. Sometimes God says, even though it's not being inspired from earth, I'm going to inspire them from the heavens. I'm going to wake them up. I'm going to go down and I'm going to bring them beracha anyway. And I'm going to bring them back to make teshuvah. I'm going to create things on this earth where the people will become inspired. The inspiration is going to begin in the heavens, not on earth. Normally the mode of operation is, it's got to start from us. You make the first step, you do something. But unfortunately we see so many people, they don't even make the first step. And to them it's difficult. Or they're not even thinking about it. God says, for those people, because I love my children so much. It's like a father. He loves his child. So he tells his child, every Sunday I want you to come to my house, I'm going to give you your allowance. The son, of course, shows up every Sunday, makes his effort, says good morning to his father, kisses his hand. The father gives him the allowance. Now, what if the child doesn't show up for 3 weeks? The father starts to get nervous. Hey, how's he living? He didn't come to get the money. Now you know what the father does? He goes to search for the child. And he sees the child in his house. Where are you? You didn't come. Here's your 3 weeks allowance. I was worried about you. Sometimes God, when he sees the children do not have zikhuyot enough to bring down the beracha, God himself motivates the child and wakes us up in order to bring to make teshuvah. How does God do that? Events, current events. All of a sudden there's a war somewhere. What happens? So we get nervous. Wow, we get scared. Oh, we better make teshuvah. We talked about tsunami last week. Tsunami comes, kills 500,000 people in 5 minutes. What does it do to us? Wow, that's scary. Look how powerful God is. You know what? I better start repenting. God has given me a loud signal. Sometimes the signal comes from heaven. Sometimes God says, I don't have time to wait for you. If I'm going to wait for you, you'll never come back. So God has to give us events in the earth to shake us a little or to inspire us a bit. It can be a good thing. Sometimes God will make an open miracle. We've seen open miracles in our time. People that were ill, that the doctors gave them no choice, no options, and they recovered. Wow! Look what God did over here! That's God saying, I love you! Do something already! Do I have to split the sea for you to make the teshuvah? Sometimes God will motivate us from the heaven, even without us having to do something to call for it. In the month of Elul, that's what happens. God says, you know what? You're in the summer. Who's thinking about high holidays? Everybody, you know that? So God says, I'm going to knock on the door. Let me in. Let me go. And when God calls out to us, Pithili, the word of God is very powerful. How do I know the word of God is very powerful? How did God create the world? With his word. God said, let there be light. There was light. Let there be a sky. There was a sky. Let there be land. There was land. His word is so powerful that his word creates. When God calls out to the Jew in the month of Elul, Pithili, open the door. That already creates an excitement. That creates already a reality where our hearts become soft. To become open. To receive the guest. To receive the guest. Which guest? Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest guest that you're ever going to receive. Oh, and now I explain to you the do. Explanation is like this. There's a big difference between rain and do. Where does rain begin from? Well, you think the rain begins from the clouds, but it's not so. The rain begins from the earth. The oceans have the water. The water evaporates, forms a cloud. Rain, in the way we're talking today, you're very lucky, ladies. We're always talking now on a high level to understand these concepts. Rain represents when the motivation begins on earth and then it brings down the beracha from heaven. Because rain begins on earth and then it goes up and then it comes down. That represents when the Jew does a good deed, or he motivates himself to come to a Torah class, and then already it's starting by you. And then the mitzvah cloud goes up, and it comes down in the form of blessing. Baruch Hashem, you're lucky. You're making a lot of good mitzvah clouds in this class, no question about it. Maybe we have to bring my umbrellas next week. But the point is, what about do? Do is different. You know where the do begins from? From the heavens. It lands from heavens. Mori Natal. God brings down the do. Whenever you talk about do, it refers to, sometimes the people are not inspired. Sometimes they're not motivated. Sometimes they're not concentrating on their obligations, what they're supposed to do. So to that, God says, I'll be like do. I'll come down to you and I'll motivate you. And I'll wake you up. And I'll give you the inspiration. Maybe I'll have to make a calamity, God forbid. Or maybe, Bezat Hashem, a miracle. I'll have to do something to get you to wake up. Or maybe you'll be inspired. You'll hear something. Somebody will bring you to a class. It's, all of a sudden you say, how did I get here? What am I doing here? That was God sending down the dew from heaven. You were planning on going to the store. Somebody called, you know what? Come quickly, I'm taking you to the class. You say, wow, what a great class that was. Well, I heard concepts I never heard before. Hey, how did I get here? Nasib, I was in the store and I ended up in a shiur. And that's God that's saying, you know what? I love you and I want to enter your heart. So I have to shake you a little. So I have to send down the dew of heaven. Therefore, sometimes God acts to us like rain, like geshem. And sometimes God acts to us like tal, like the dew. But we have a rule. Rains are sporadic. Not always is it a rainy season. As a matter of fact, sometimes there's even droughts, God forbid. Rain is not constant. Even though the summer has been quite constant. But as a general rule, rains can stop. Do you know there was a prophet called Eliyahu HaNavi? In his time, he cursed the king. The king was a bad king. His name was Ahav. He said, for 3 years there's not going to be rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years. So you see, rain can stop. But the Gemara says, the dew never stops. Every day of the year there's dew. And if you don't trust me, tomorrow morning, go outside in your socks. Not only your socks, but with your socks on, and go step on the grass. And you'll feel that it's wet, even though it didn't rain last night. Because there's always, even in the winter, you put your hand on the grass, you wake up in the morning on your windshield, you're going to see little droplets. What is that? That's the dew comes down every day. And you know what the lesson of that is? The lesson is, rain, sometimes yes, sometimes not. Sometimes we're inspired to do good, and then God will bring us the mitzvah cloud down. Sometimes we're not. Our behavior is sporadic, like the rain. Sometimes we go through a drought, where we're not interested. We give up, and we become hopeless. But God says, I never give up. The dew never stops. Even though you gave up on yourself, God says, I'm like the dew. I'm going to keep on knocking on your heart. I'm going to still giving you wake-up calls. I'm going to give you signals. Until the last moment, I'm going to try to bring you back to me. Not like a guest that knocks on the door and says, nobody's home, I'm leaving. God says, I'm going to continue knocking on the door. And if you're not inspired like the rain, I'll inspire you like the dew. It'll come from heaven. It'll come from God. If you understand what I'm saying now, we can understand another concept. Rain falls by day and by night. It can rain in the day, rainy day, and a rainy night. But when does the dew fall? The dew only falls at night. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, "Ubrede tatal ala machane laila." Rabbeinu Bachya writes, Yadua, En tal yored bayom ela balayla. The dew only falls down at night. There's a message behind this. Day and night. You know what the day represents? When times are good. When the Jewish people are in their land, where there's a temple, where things are good for the Jewish people, where we're living in a time of great religious levels. That's the day. You know what the night represents? Exile. The dark, bitter exiles that we're in. And we're in a bitter exile now. And it gets bitter, from even more bitter from time to time. And we have anti-Semitism, and we have all problems, personal and communal, and as a nation. We feel the pangs of exile even now a little more than we've been feeling it. People are just uncomfortable. They feel as if the exile has taken a new level, has gone to a new level, at least in our parts. This is Laila. We're in Laila. We're in the darkness. Even though it might be a bright exile, but it's still darkness. Because the nature of exile, it can turn in any moment. Even though we live good, but in 1 second, it's like a match. All you have to light one match and the whole haystack goes off. That's how tenuous the Jews are in exile. Just because we have it good for one day, then the next day can... Bar minan. We've seen history. And at this time of Laila, of darkness, God reminds us, the dew always will fall down in the darkness. That means even in the exile, I didn't forget you. And even if you're having a hard time returning to me, God says the tal will come down in the exile at night. Even in the most difficult times, God says, I'm going to inspire you. Look, you ladies are an example. How you ended here to the classes. How? Just think, what turned you around? What brought you back to God? Maybe somebody says, most people that came back to God, it wasn't something they did. It wasn't a step that they... It was something that happened around them, and they heard the door. They heard the door. Some people, they were aggressive. They opened the door, looking for God. Where's God? Bring him in. But most people were standing behind the door, waiting for somebody to knock. And they, come in. They were passive. That's the tal. And what a comforting feeling that with all that we've gone through, and all the iniquities of man, and our misdeeds, God still didn't give up on us. Kol dodi dofek pitchili, and that's what God says. Because as you think in the exile I left you, you think when I destroyed the temple I left you, come feel my head. Shiroshin nimlatal, my head is filled with dew. What God was saying, I never leave you. Even at the time of the destruction, just like the dew comes down from heaven, even without anything that's motivating it from the earth, I also never left you. Just feel my head. And that's why I'll tell you another secret.
So if God has the dew on him, that means he's in exile also.
Correct. He's in exile with us, and he's going to inspire us, even where we are not doing what we're supposed to do ourselves. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. I'm like the dew. I never left you. Look, you think I forgot you? Even though the Jewish people, maybe we're not so perfect. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Eyeh katali Yisrael." I'm going to be like the dew for the Jewish people. But I'll give you one more secret. During the resurrection of the dead, Be'ezat Hashem, should be in our day, all the tzaddikim are going to be resurrected. They're going to come back to life again. Could you believe that? You think there's no parking now? Wait till all these people come back now. But we believe in that there's going to be a tichayat emetim. You have to believe that. That's one of the 13 principles of our religion. There's no negotiating on that. We bless God every day, v'ne'eman atala hayot metim. And you are loyal and trustworthy to resurrect the dead. Baruch atah Hashem. We say God's name. We would not say God's name if we were in doubt. That means we must be positive and we're sure of Mechayim Metim. And how is that resurrection going to take place? It says God is going to send down His dew, Tal, and the dew is going to resurrect the dead. That's why in the blessing of the Amidah of Tehiyat Metim, we also have a line that says, Morid Atal. God, you bring down the dew. V'ne'eman atal ayot metim. Why is it that the dew is going to resurrect it? How come he's not going to send down the rain? Basically, I'm going to tell you it's like this. A human being that's alive, he could do good deeds on earth to inspire the blessing of heaven. But a dead man, he can't do anything on his own anymore. A dead man cannot do good deeds anymore. He lies. He is not able to inspire on earth to create a blessing from heaven. He needs the blessing of the do, where God says, even though you're lifeless, and even though you can't do anything, I have to resurrect you from above. The dead man cannot be resurrected from below, because he can't do anything anymore. So God sends down the do in order to resurrect. And to a large degree, the Jewish people, when they leave religion, we're like dead people, Chas v'Shalom. And therefore we need God to resurrect us when we're alive. When we're alive. But spiritually, there's atrophy. And therefore the do God sends down to us is the month of Elul. And He tells us, wake up, let me in. Everybody should fulfill the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. Be a good gracious host. Let the guest in. Don't be scared. Anybody that lets God in, you have beracha. People think, if I let God in, who knows what's going to happen? Then all of a sudden, they're going to make me crazy with all this fanaticism. And who knows what's going to happen to my life? It's going to be turned upside down. Do you think the blessing of God, Chas v'Shalom, can bring such a thing? The blessing of God only brings things that are good. And therefore, open your doors. Listen to the knock. Now I'm going to tell you one last tidbit. How many days does the month of Elul have? 29 days. Always the month of Elul has 29 days. And then we have Rosh Hashanah. From Rosh Hashanah to Kippur, how many days? 10 days. So from Elul, from today, or tomorrow actually, because tomorrow is the first day of the month, until Kippur is 39 days. No. It's 39 days. The Elul always has 29 days. And then there's 10 days of Rosh Hashanah to Kippur. That's 39 days. Ah, very good. How do you say do in Hebrew? Tal. Tet, Lamed. Tet is 9 and Lamed is 30. 39. The Tal is representing the 39 days from the beginning of Elul to Yom Kippur. And Borei Olam saying, hear the knock. Accept me. Let me come in. Let me enter. And everybody should start be thinking on these terms to become a little better. To become a little closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. God says, hey, here's the needle. Take the needle over here and sew yourself back together again. Make yourself whole again. Small things, but things that are durable. Things that will last. And then, Be'azat Hashem, you'll use the next 29 or 30 days, or 39 days, as I mentioned, for spiritual elevation. Then you'll come after the holiday. After Yom Kippur, you can put the needle down. We don't need the needle. We're attached again. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, this time, it'll stick. The stitches will be very, very strong. And we always have to be thankful that a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much that He's willing to inspire us, even if we're not willing to inspire ourselves. Even if we're dull. We become a little hopeless on our own existence. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you can give up on yourself. I'm not going to give up on you. And therefore God will give us opportunities to be in the right place. You ladies have heard this knock of God. Baruch Hashem, we're well into the summer now. And usually schools are closed in the summer. But Baruch Hashem, we've been coming every Thursday, in and out, to study Torah in the middle of the day. That means, Baruch Hashem, God has knocked and you have entered. You have let Him enter. I can only imagine the blessing that God has given you. As being a good host to the Shekhinah, God is blessing you with the most wonderful blessings, especially at a time where most people's hearts are closed maybe, because it's the summer, and you come along and open it, God says, wow, you get an extra blessing. But let's hope that Be'ezrat Hashem, we should always be able to hear the call of God. Petchili, achoti, yonati, tammati, rayati. And God says, Shiroshi nimlat tal. I'm filled with do. If you don't want to make mitzvah clouds, I'm going to make you do them anyway. I'm going to bring events to the world, hopefully blessings, that will inspire you to come back. And then Be'ezrat Hashem, just like we'll hear the word of God in this world, after 120 we'll merit to the real do, the do of Tihayat HaMitim, and then we'll be resurrected, and we'll have an eternal existence, Ad Le'ol Me'ad, Amen V'Amen.